live on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. It's time for Q&A with DJ Phone. Today's program is sponsored by High Country Rec V Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. Now, here's your host for Q&A, DJ Phone.
And welcome to the Monday edition of Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. You know, the summer reading season is coming up, and everybody loves a great book. I do, too. So today, we're going to leave the whole show up to the authors. We're going to open the show with a brief interview, about 6.5 minutes, with Cass Sunstein. Now, he is an editor who has amassed several essays from respected people about, of all topics, authoritarianism. And here's why. Because you hear this word bandied about by protest groups all the time. Oh, authoritarianism. No, it's not. He knows what authoritarianism is. The people who wrote his essays are all experts on the topic. And it's a really interesting treatise on what authoritarianism is around the world and what it isn't. And what we have here in this country, it isn't authoritarianism. I wish people would just calm down about that. So his book, Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America. And yes, it is an open-ended question for a title. He will be our first guest, followed by a very lighthearted chat with Andrew Santella. He has written a book called Soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination. I wonder how long it took him to finally get around to write it, but he's a very funny guy. I think you'll enjoy the interview with Andrew Santella. Then, after the news with Link, at the bottom of the hour, we will talk with a local author, Gary Cassidy, who is also a Vietnam veteran, so he has a really interesting backstory behind his writing as it is. So, we're going to talk all authors today on Q&A, on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live at kqna.com.
Guess what time it is? Tax time. Shut the front door. Turn to the experts at Moyers and let your tax refund work for you. Moyers Heating, Cooling, and Carrier will give you $100 to put with your tax return towards the purchase of a new heating and cooling system, the gift that keeps on giving with energy, savings, and comfort all year long. So look forward to tax season and turn to your local hometown heroes where we put honesty before profit. Check us out on the web at MoyersHVAC.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
High Waters with our Plants of the Week and our Flowering Easter Baskets.
The Garden Center is stocked full of these big, bold flowers grown to perfection.
We've grown 200 baskets that mesh, intertwine, and spill with colors.
They make a perfect gift for neighbors, moms, pastors, or a good friend.
Don't forget to treat yourself to spring flowers as well. These locally grown baskets are only available until Easter Sunday and all for under $20.
Waters Garden Center in Prescott. Color your Easter with flowers.
It's tax time. Stop getting your taxes done where you buy your groceries. I am David A. Snyder, CPA, and I will install confidence in the quality and security of your taxes. On April 18th, those pop-up cubicles will be gone, but I will be there. With my ex-military tax-oriented mindset and 20 years of experience, I will guide you through current and past IRS issues. Step away from the phone apps and into my office. Call me at 445-0104, extension 9, or online at davidasnydercpa.com.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hi, Hi, I'm Sandy with YCCA. I'm so excited to announce a Lunch and Learn hosted by the City of Prescott and YCCA. Wednesday, March 28th, 11:30 a.m., City Hall. Citizens, contractors, builders, and developers, join us and be informed on a variety of topics when building in the City of Prescott. City staff will be on hand to answer questions. Lunch is on us. RSVP. Call me, 778-0040.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. We have on the line Cass Sunstein. He is the Robert Walmsley University Professor at Harvard, where he's founder and director of the Program on Behavioral Economics and Public Policy. He was also an administrator of the White House Office of Information and Regulatory Affairs, a member of the President's Review Group on Intelligence and Communications Technologies. He is also an attorney advisor in the U.S. Department of Justice. Cass Sunstein has edited a new book. It's more than a dozen reports from our country's leading legal and political minds. It's called Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America. Mr. Sunstein, the timing of the book, is that relevant to today's politics?
I think so. So all over the world, democratic self-government is under serious pressure. So we're seeing in Turkey, in the Philippines, in Poland, and in Hungary, these aren't headline news in America, but authoritarianism is on the rise in those places. China, of course, has grown in authority and power, and that has many aspects of an authoritarian regime. Russia is resurgent, and that is connected with the exercise of power by an authoritarian leader, Vladimir Putin. In the United States, we've escaped all that, but some people have been concerned that at least some of the rhetoric that has sometimes come, let's say, in his least good moments from President Trump, that some of that rhetoric is unpleasantly connected with authoritarian rhetoric.
Is a powerful central government, you think, a threat to liberty or a safeguard against it?
My view is that it's a threat to liberty, and that the framers of the Constitution were very concerned to make sure that the powerful central government that they created would be constrained both by the Bill of Rights and, even more important, by checks and balances, so that as powerful as the American government was meant to be, even at the beginning, there'd be an independent judiciary that could check it, and the president would depend on Congress, so he couldn't do whatever he wanted, and Congress would depend on the president, that is, it couldn't enforce the laws, and all that kind of structure would be a safeguard against tyranny. But it is also true that a big, powerful government does provide some safeguards against tyranny, and this is something one of the contributors to the book, to my surprise, argues. And the idea is, if you have a government that has people who've been there forever, who are knowledgeable and who are serving the American people and not the current leader, they will kind of slow things down and occasionally say, really, to the bosses, and sometimes even say no to the bosses. Now, that's a pretty tough thing to say to your boss, but if there's something really awful or ridiculous being suggested, no is a possible answer. So our food safety people, you know, they're not going to become political weapons. They're concerned with food safety. Nor are they going to ignore serious problems of food safety. That's their job. And they have a degree of power by virtue of their knowledge and their civil service protection. And in the Department of State, we have people whose job it is to keep the country safe and engaged in diplomacy. And they are a check against Democratic or Republican leaders who would go off in wild directions. So I was privileged to work in the Obama administration. I learned to have, you know, such respect for civil servants who are part of this big government, who didn't necessarily have any enthusiasm for President Obama, who was my boss. They just wanted to help we the people.
Now, we hear the terms authoritarianism, populism tossed about. What is the relationship between those two terms?
Well, populism and authoritarianism are, in a way, opposites. So so that's important to say, that the American Revolution was a populist revolution where we rebelled against an authoritarian leader, the king, and many populist movements, you can think of the civil rights movement as one, are about ensuring that we, the people, are in charge. So that's important to see. But it's also important to see that populist movements can have a kind of fervor and passion and rage in them that can turn in an authoritarian direction. The Bolshevik Revolution in Soviet Union, and I think no one should have enthusiasm for that, but it did have a populist dimension to it, and it turned authoritarian in a hurry. The rise of Nazism was in some ways a profoundly populist one. Many people, you know, were urging go Hitler, and then it rapidly turned authoritarian. So the Star Wars movies actually depict this in a way that's, I think, really smart. The possibility that manipulation of the people, or even just stirrings of the people, can lead to enthusiasm for a tough guy.
And you mentioned the Star Wars movies. You have also written a book called The World According to Star Wars. The name of this book is Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America. Can It Happen Here? Authoritarianism in America explores our country's leading legal and political minds, putting forth lessons from history, tracking how democracies crumble, exploring the way propaganda works, and they locate the role of our various national institutions in the modern political landscape. Cass Sunstein, how can our listeners get a copy of your book?
Well, thank you for asking. You can go to any fine bookstore, which will have the book, and if it's not there, you might ask the bookstore whether they really consider themselves part of the category of fine bookstores.
Very well said. Thank you for joining us today on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Okay, great. Thanks to you.
Bye-bye.
You like it when the cable company says we'll be there between noon and 4. When you call Benjamin Franklin Plumbing, we give you a time and we're there. And if our licensed background check, drug-free texts are late, we pay you $5 for every minute we're late, up to $300. Benjamin Franklin Plumbing.
For over 50 years, Prescott College has been empowering future leaders to make a difference in local and global communities.
Hi, I'm Courtney Osterfeld, Executive Director of the Launchpad Teen Center. I earned a bachelor's and a master's degree from Prescott College. Today, I am proud to make a difference in our community by inspiring teens to achieve their dreams. My experience with Prescott College provided me with the skills and experience to develop and manage a nonprofit organization.
Prescott College, making a difference globally and locally, starting right here in Prescott.
The Bolleri Professional Building, home to Prescott's premier high-tech business suites, located right in the heart of downtown Prescott. Bolleri Business Suites feature high-speed internet, covered parking, and a climate-controlled environment designed for business, medical, legal, and most any general office purpose. New one-year leases available with one additional month free. Call 445-7191 or go to BolleriProfessionalBuilding.com for more information. The Bolleri Professional Building, Prescott's business address.
Today, customers expect to read online reviews and see videos showcasing your business. They want to engage via social media and text messaging, and they want to do it from any device and any place. It's critical to stay in contact with your customers wherever they may be. If your business isn't, your competitor is. We have the answer. Thrive, an integrated business management and communication software that provides all of these features in an easy-to-use, affordable solution. Thrive ensures your brand, image, and message are consistent. On top of that, Thrive provides single access to all of your online and social activities via your very own dashboard. Let us help you stay connected with your customers and build on the reputation and loyalty you've worked so hard to achieve. It's easy and simple, saving you time and money. Go to thrive.com or call 888-733-9482. Thrive, your business, smarter.
When it comes to seafood, think small. Sally Bees has upped the ante on their all-you-can-eat fish fry on Fridays with new oriental butterfly shrimp. That's right. Not only can you get their famous Icelandic cod for one low price, you can save a delicious shrimp like you've never had. Serve with your choice of potatoes, veggies, soup or salad, and a dinner roll. The fish fry is every Friday from 11 a.m. to 9 p.m. They're in the Safeway Shopping Centre in Prescott Valley, Sally Bees Cafe.
the municipality puts chlorine in the water to keep the yucky stuff from growing. You're supposed to have a system to take it out along with all the other nasties. Don't have it? Buying and lugging water bottles? Call Benjamin Franklin Plumbing. Benjamin Franklin Plumbing.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
Welcome back to Q&A. I'm DJ Phone. Andrew Santella is our guest. He has written for such publications as GQ, the New York Times Book Review, Slate, and TheAtlantic.com. He lives in Brooklyn, where he's very likely at this very moment putting off doing something important. The reason I say that, he's written a fascinating new book. It's called Soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination from Leonardo and Darwin to You and Me. Mr. Santella, welcome to Q&A. Tell us what prompted you to finally get around to write this book.
Well, thank you for the welcome, first of all. And yeah, the book grew out of my lifelong procrastination habit and my desire to justify it. I thought maybe if I looked deep enough into the history of procrastination and the philosophy and the psychology behind it, I might find some rationalization there, some excuse that would make it okay for me to be a procrastinator. I'm not sure I ever exactly found that, but I did find out how almost universal the practice is, mm-hmm. habit is, and that made me feel a little less alone and a little less bad about my habit.
And if you are a procrastinator, you share that trait with an awful lot of histories, most accomplished and respected people, don't you?
Yeah, and that's enormously reassuring to a procrastinator like me, to think that people like Charles Darwin and Leonardo da Vinci, people who are in my subtitle, to think that these are achievers who are operating on a plane certainly different than the one I operate on, but at the same time they wrestle with some of the same procrastination impulses. It's reassuring, and it also is nice to know that you can still accomplish great things.
I understand, since you mentioned Darwin, you visited Charles Darwin's home in London. What'd you learn?
Darwin was, of all the stories and people from history that I encountered in this book, was by far became my favorite. He's such a fascinating and brilliant guy, but also like this wonderful family man. Visiting his home sort of gave me like a real insight into what his everyday life was like. He was a very disciplined guy. His daily regimen of walks was very regular. His work schedule was very regular. But he also had these sort of really intense interest in some very scientific projects and research projects, and they seem, some of them, kind of bizarre to us. He got really interested in barnacles, these little sea creatures, and he was researching them to the point where he spent years on them, and there were like jars full of these pickled barnacles and all over the Darwin house. The story is that one of his children thought that everyone lived like this, and when he went to visit a friend at a friend's house, asked, "Well, I don't understand. Where does your father do his barnacle research?" It gave me a little bit of an insight into how Darwin lived and worked. So it was enormously educational to kind of see his environment.
In your research about procrastinators, have you come across people who seem to procrastinate, but once they're motivated to achieve a goal and they start, you just can't tear them away from it?
I think that does happen, and it's the variety of ways to procrastinate, or for some people it's an inability to get started. For some people it's an inability to finish. For some people it can be both. Some people are really, really dedicated procrastinators about certain things in their lives, say paying the bills or doing household repairs, but they're like totally diligent and on time about other parts of their lives, mm-hmm. like meeting work deadlines or something. Mm-hmm. So, just the variety of impulses and ways of living, it's just, it's fascinating once you start reading into it.
Now, in New Orleans, we call it the Big Easy, and you found, I believe, in the French Quarter, the patron saint of procrastination?
I thought I had heard every saint's story, excuse me,
that there was to know, having grown up, you know, in Catholic schools. But I had never heard of Saint Expedite, the patron saint of procrastinators. Excuse me. Saint Expedite is held up as the paragon of getting things done now, including spiritual matters, before it's too late. And what was interesting to me was that it's pretty much recognized now that Expedite's story was just a legend. He was a myth. He never really existed. And I think that made total sense, because only you know, a legend, only a myth could be so resolute about getting things done on time. For the rest of us, actual human beings, procrastination is always a little bit of an issue.
What do you say to people who, in your book, are devoted to the cult of efficiency?
Yeah, I think so many of us have been conditioned. I know I feel this pressure to live, you know, our entire lives by this sort of code or by these sort of standards that come from the corporate workplace, maybe. Mm-hmm. That is, like, you know, be really efficient and get a lot of things done, and you know, everything's got to be done quick, better, and faster. And I, you know, that's great for the workplace, and it's totally appropriate and cool there. But I think I run into problems when we start applying it to, you know, the other areas, the rest of our lives. Mm-hmm. And so I think that's one of the reasons so many of us feel so guilty about our procrastination. We feel like we're doing something wrong. We're not living our life to the utmost, not realizing our full potential. And I think that could be a really harmful way to think about yourself. I mean, I would like people not to be so concerned about efficiency. I would like people not to feel so bad about their procrastination habit, because it's human. It's part of our condition, and it's not going to go away anytime soon.
My favorite part of your book is how you explain that delay and deferral can actually help us understand what truly matters to us.
I think that procrastination is a really great occasion for, you know, examining yourself and finding out something important about yourself. You know, if I'm putting off the same kind of task repeatedly, I should ask myself, what's going on there? What is it about this task that's freaking me out, scaring me, making me anxious, making me ambivalent to the point where I don't want to deal with it? And if you could do that honestly, kind of do that kind of self-reflection honestly, you might learn something about your priorities, what matters to you most, and what scares you the most.
How many parents do you think will buy your book soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination, to give to their teenagers?
Well, I do know that I have a teenager here, and he, like me, occasionally procrastinates. The only thing that's different is I feel like my procrastination is, like, totally understandable and forgivable. His, though, I find it indefensible and infuriating. I have no patience for his procrastination. And I think that's so many of us have that double standard. You know, it's okay when we do it, but other people's procrastination can get under our skin sometimes.
Some people like to put us down by saying, you must have a lot of time on your hands, but that can be a good thing, can't it?
Well, I think there are some activities, some projects that you might be working on, especially like creative projects or creative problems that you're trying to solve, where stepping back from the problem and giving things a little time to, you know, sit and marinate a little bit can be useful and productive. I mean, it could also be sort of a delusional rationalization that you're. I try that on my wife sometimes. Yeah, you know, I'll say it may look like I'm laying on the couch staring at the ceiling doing nothing, but I'm really writing all the time. She doesn't exactly buy that, but I think. Good things don't just happen when we're really active. They also happen sometimes in moments of repose and reflection and sort of, you know, meditation.
The author is Andrew Santello. The book is Soon, An Overdue History of Procrastination, from Leonardo and Darwin to You and Me. How can our listeners get a copy of your book and learn more about you?
They'll find find at any, you know, bookstore, and they can also go to my website, which is andrewsantella.com.
We thank you for joining us on Q&A. Continued success in your publishing.
Thank you.
Wallach & Volk Mortgage Lending is with you 100% of the way, which is why Wallach & Volk offers great rates with our 100% financing program. And you pay absolutely no money down. For more information about our extraordinary 100% financing program with zero money down, call us at 445-8730 or search us on the web at Wallach & Volk Mortgage.
License number 0012825, LMS number 16209, Equal Opportunity Lender.
Do you qualify? Limited income households may be eligible for discounted gas and electric service from Unisource Energy Services through our CARES program. If your annual household income is less than 150% of the federal poverty level, that's $37,650 a year for a family of four, you're eligible for CARES. To learn more, call UES at 1-877-837-4968 or visit us online at uesaz.com.
It's tax time. Stop getting your taxes done where you buy your groceries. I am David A. Snyder, CPA, and I will install confidence in the quality and security of your taxes. On April 18th, those pop-up cubicles will be gone, but I will be there. With my ex-military tax scoring mindset and 20 years of experience, I will guide you through current and past IRS issues. Step away from the phone apps and into my office. Call me at 445-0104, extension 9, or online at davidasnydercpa.com.
Making America Safe Again, Dr. Sebastian Gorka, a former strategist and deputy assistant to President Donald Trump, joins Dr. Kelly Ward.
Friday, March 30th at the Prescott Resort and Conference Center for an unforgettable experience. Doors open at 7 a.m. For tickets and information, go to kellyward.com, then click on events and register for the Prescott Breakfast event.
That's kellyward.com.
Paid for and authorized by Kelly Ward for Senate, Inc.
I'm Dr. Kelly Ward, and I approve this message.
$14 a month. That's all you'll pay for 24-hour alarm monitoring from Western States Communications. This is Sanford Cohen. If your alarm company has tried to raise your rates, do what I did. Make the switch to Western States Communications. They even use my existing equipment. Now I'm only paying $14 a month for 24/7 security. Call right now at 772-3529 and they'll give you 2 months monitoring free. That's Western States Communications alarm monitoring, $14 a month, 772-3529.
Are you an energetic, outgoing professional that has good people skills? Then Truly Nolan Pest Control, a leading pest control company in Arizona since 1955, has a well-paying career for you. We are looking for just the right candidates in our Prescott Valley office for both sales and service. You must have a valid driver's license, pass a drug test, and background check. For more information on positions available, please visit our website at trulynolan.com. Click on Careers, then Positions, and City. An equal opportunity employer, trulynolan.com.
The talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A.
Good afternoon, and thanks for making the talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A, your choice for your Monday. I'm Link Elliott with a check of news and weather together on Q&A with DJ Phone, brought to you by Wallach & Volk. The Northern Arizona Suns now have a street named after them. The former Sundogs Boulevard, which is an access road to the Prescott Valley Event Center, was unveiled as NAZ Sunsway Saturday afternoon. Northern Arizona Suns coach Cody Toppert explains this shows the team is putting roots down in Prescott Valley.
I think the community support's been great. I think it'll continue to improve. And anything that we can do for the community, we want to do. We want to get out. We're a part of this community. We're not just guys who are transplanted in here at times. I'm a resident. You check my driver's license. It says Goodnight Lane, Prescott Valley. And, you know, we're here to build. So we're excited for the future.
The unveiling took place as Salute to Heroes activities were happening in the Prescott Valley Event Center parking lot. This included military and fire and police department displays, face painting, a bounce house, and a concert by the Cheek Tones. Toppert says he's going to have a busy offseason.
I'm just looking forward to being able to take a step back and really dive into Phoenix Suns culture that's being built on the youth side from down in Phoenix to up here and make sure we have a seamless transition with guys that are coming back and forth. Now that I'm familiar with the landscape, it's going to be so much better.
As part of Salute to Heroes Night Saturday, the Suns auctioned off the camouflage jerseys they played in during their final game. All proceeds benefit the Prescott Valley Police Foundation. bid on some valuable items while helping children in the community.
The 70th annual Prescott Kiwanis auction runs from 7 to 10 every weeknight starting tonight through April 6th. The auction will air live as it happens from the Gray Sparks Activity Center on East Gurley Street on cable channel 64 and online at PrescottKiwanis.com. Listen live on KQNA 1130 AM and 95.5 and 99.9 FM or at KQNA.com. All proceeds from the auction sales go to children's organizations throughout Yavapai County. I'm Bill Monroe reporting.
The Arizona Coyotes take on the Tampa Bay Lightning tonight, and all the live action can be heard starting at 5 right here on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Taking a look at your KQ&A weather, watch for rain and snow showers tonight and tomorrow. Expect an overnight low of 31 tonight in the Prescott area, with a high of 57 tomorrow and a high of 64 on Wednesday. 38 degrees tonight for Cottonwood and the Verde Valley, with a high on Tuesday of 65 and a high on Wednesday of 71. Q&A will continue after this. I'm Link Elliott for the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM, and 95.5 FM. KQ&A.
75 years ago, a group of leaders had the vision to realize how important locally governed, not-for-profit healthcare would be to the fabric of our growing community. They rolled up their sleeves, and Prescott Community Hospital opened its doors. As the years passed, there were many changes. Prescott Community Hospital became Yavapai Regional Medical Center, but two things didn't change. That same can-do spirit grew stronger than ever, and YRMC continued to be a point of pride for our community. Today, YRMC is still your not-for-profit healthcare provider, operating solely on patient revenue and generous community support. And yes, we continue to be locally governed, which means that your healthcare is our only priority. As we celebrate our 75th anniversary, we'd like to thank you, our family, friends, and neighbors. Because of you, YRMC is 75 years strong.
Hi, I'm Jason Williams, the Trails and Wilderness Manager for the Prescott National Forest. I earned a Bachelor's and a Master's of Arts in Environmental Studies and Adventure Education from Prescott College. Today, I am proud to make a difference in our community by working with community members on such projects as the Prescott Circle Trail and protecting our wilderness areas. My experience with Prescott College allows me to contribute by conserving our local public lands and providing opportunities for everyone to enjoy the great outdoors.
Prescott College, making a difference globally and locally, starting right here in Prescott.
Take advantage of your golden years. These are the times to reflect, relax, and have a whole lot of fun. Country Bank's Home Equity Conversion Mortgage, known as a reverse mortgage, could be your supplemental financial option. Suzanne Cosley, the reverse mortgage specialist at Country Bank, can show you how to convert a portion of your home equity into tax-free money.
Come by and see me, Suzanne Cosley at Country Bank, or call me at 928-583-9015 for more details.
An equal housing lender, member FDIC.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And we are back live at 3:33. It's always a pleasure to have a veteran, a local guy, and an author and an artist, a true Renaissance man, right here in the studio. It's Gary Cassidy. He's retired, a retired colonel from the U.S. Army. Gary, you've got quite a resume here that touches a lot of places and shows a lot of talents. First of all, tell us about your educational degrees.
My education was interrupted. I got drafted out of college because mm-hmm. I was a basketball jock and I didn't study. And the Army taught me in 7.5 years that I better buckle down. And so when I returned, I went in for an art degree. And mm-hmm. I graduated from Washington University in St. Louis. Mm-hmm. With a Bachelor of Fine Arts degree, and I went on to Claremont Graduate School then. Now it's Claremont Graduate University, where I got a Master of Fine Arts.
Mm-hmm. Now tell us about your time in the military.
Like I said, I was drafted, mm-hmm. and I liked it, and it fit. And I ended up spending 29 years as I went from a private in the infantry to a Special Forces colonel. Mm-hmm. And when I retired, they called me back after a couple of months and appointed me to be the Army's artist. Mm-hmm. I was the only...
Now, what does that mean, the Army's artist?
It means that they send you someplace and you come back and make art for them mm-hmm. for a period of time. I tell people, I like to tell people, we have lots and lots of generals, but only one Army artist a year.
That's true. Very true. So where have some of your art pieces ended up? Very impressive places, by the way.
For the Army, they are very safe. They're very protected in a climactically controlled environment. Mm-hmm. Do you remember the end of the Indiana Jones movie, The Raiders of the Lost Ark, where they were pushing the Ark in this big warehouse? That's sort of where that is.
No kidding.
The Army is building a museum on Fort Belvoir. Mm-hmm. It's scheduled to open in 2019. And there it's hoped that we're going to be able to have a lot of that art, because the curator refers to it as the best art collection that is never seen.
You know, it reminds me of the movie Monuments Men, which had, of course, a European setting that was saved by so many American soldiers. So tell us about some of your writing.
Well, I decided that I was going to write a story because it was really interesting. Mm-hmm. I thought it was interesting. And it was about fishing. And I managed, as a young captain, I worked on a... director of plans, training, and security for 168,000 acres of Uncle Sam's property, Hunter Liggett Military Reservation. There was 22 bass ponds on this reservation. And I managed to commandeer the colonel's helicopter pilot and helicopter and the command sergeant major and the base doctor and our dogs. And we all flew in and fished this great pond that we couldn't get to otherwise. So I wrote that up as a story. It was rejected by Outdoor Life, and it was rejected by Field and Stream. So I thought, okay, I'll just write a book. Mm-hmm. And that's what I did. And then it turned into two books, and then it turned into the third book.
Take me through the writing process. Here's something I always ask authors. At what point during the writing of either of your books did the stories and the characters and the plot lines start flooding in so fast that you had to keep up?
My editor says I have a very good memory. And since this is a writing of about what I observed happen, and you know, during 30 years in the Army, but I can't remember everything exactly. I call it a mytho-memoir. Mm-hmm. And so it's... I don't know how you're supposed to write a book. I studied visual arts, sculpture, to be precise. Mm-hmm. And so I started pretty much in the middle, and then I wrote the end, and then I went back and wrote the beginning. Mm-hmm. And then what I intended to be a book got divided into three books.
After your supposedly final manuscript was in, how often did you say, oh man, I should have included...
That happens till today.
But
you,
no kidding.
You have to leave it alone.
Mm-hmm. Save it for the next book, right?
Since my books are a lot about flashbacks, and I'll tell you the titles, and they are, the first one is A Soldier's Story, the Colonel Butch Cassidy Memoirs, Volume 1, and then there's The Fisherman's Story, Colonel Butch Cassidy Memoirs, Volume 2, and the last one, since I was the Army's artist, The Artist Story, and same thing.
So was Army art like cowboy art?
You know, that's a good question. When I first got here, I managed to land a job as the director of the Phippen Museum. Mm-hmm. And I compared being an Army artist a lot to the cowboy artists of America. Mm-hmm. In order to become a cowboy artist of America, or with any group, you have to have been whatever that group is about. Mm-hmm. If you're a cowboy artist, then you were a cowboy. I was an Army artist, so I was a soldier first, and then at the end of my career, I got to be an artist. Mm-hmm.
As an artist, tell us about some of the materials you work with.
As a sculptor, I like found and recycled objects, and I work a lot with steel and wood, and I love welding and cutting and hitting hot steel with a hammer and all of that macho guy stuff. As a painter, I paint with oils, and I paint with acrylics, and I go through the whole process. I'll stretch my own canvas and come up with a topic. My last four paintings have been a self-assignment. I've painted the four seasons of El Gato Azul.
One of my favorite places. Hello, Barry Barb.
I was on Barry's show, in fact, and that was a very nice experience. My next painting will be in and around Prescott somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't quite know where yet, but yeah. What a lovely little high desert town and a wealth of subject matter there.
And how'd you end up here?
My wife got a job. Mm-hmm. And so I had looked for a job teaching art, which is what I thought I should do. Mm-hmm. And because I added a doctorate in education when I retired.
Just in your spare time, added a doctorate, sure.
But that was not to be. My wife landed a job out here. She's in the mental health field. Mm-hmm. That's why we get along so good together.
Of course.
Yeah. And she is now with the Veterans Administration here in Prescott and runs a program for the seriously mentally ill veterans. Mm-hmm. She says I'm her favorite crazy vet.
Well, anyway, I have to ask you about this. You said you like to work with recycled materials,
yes.
Right? You're sculpting. Now, I know you're from St. Louis. Have you ever spent time at the City Museum? On Washington Avenue.
I have. In fact, my wife and I visited that the last time we were in St. Louis.
Bob Cassilly, I believe, is the founder.
I'm not sure about that, but it's a nice space, and it's right downtown, and it's in one of those rejuvenating areas that you see in the inner city there.
And it looked like a children's playground that was amassed from spent and discarded construction materials. It's amazing what went on in there. Plus, outside, you had a school bus tipping over on the corner of the roof, which is kind of cool, too.
I like contemporary art.
Mm-hmm.
You can only see so many real things, and that's what the camera's for sometimes.
Sure. Yeah.
But I'm a contemporary artist, and that's what I like to do.
What's your favorite kind of art? You say contemporary. Explain that.
I guess my favorite... told my students in the little teaching that I did do, my favorite art is the art I have not yet seen.
Wow, what a fascinating answer, because there's always new material out there if you're open to receiving it, right?
That's what makes art so interesting to me.
Tell me in a nutshell the differences between Army art and contemporary art.
Army art is pretty real. They want to see what the artist sees out there in certain, environments.
Mm-hmm.
The Army's art collection went all the way back to the Revolutionary War.
Mm-hmm.
And then at one point that was too much for them to manage, and they gave everything from World War II back to the Smithsonian to manage, and they kept everything from World War II forward. When I give talks about the Army art, art that is, recuperative, and they're trying to, the artist is just saw something so horrific on the battlefield that was the only way that they could get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And some of those things are in the collection, too.
How cathartic for a person who was in the battlefield, how cathartic is art for a soldier?
Well, if they were still alive, you could ask Winston Churchill and Eisenhower, who both painted after their experiences in World War II.
Mm-hmm.
In fact, in the Pentagon, there's an Eisenhower corridor that has several of his small landscapes, and he was pretty good.
And George W. Bush does it now.
He does large portraits, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, indeed. Now, you and I both grew up in St. Louis. Just before I left St. Louis in 2003, a couple of years before that, we had an influx of refugees from the Bosnian-Serbian War. You spent time in that war, didn't you?
I did. I went there twice. I went to Bosnia the first time doing a real army job, and the second time, the first time I got there, they didn't have the electricity on in a lot of towns, and just driving around was exciting because none of the stoplights worked, and if you ever wanted to see what Armageddon might be like, it was interesting to say the least. The second time they were a little bit better; they had got support facilities working again, and I was the Army's artist the second time I went there, and I just followed the troops around and took pictures and drew sketches.
And your military experience overseas includes the Balkans, the first Gulf War, Panama, Korea, and the Vietnam War. When you watch a movie or a TV show that pretends to be about wartime, how often do you look at that and go, not very realistic, I've been there, I know better?
Well, my wife and I just saw something about 12, and it was our military, our special operations forces, special forces, in Afghanistan, an early part, very early part of the war. And in every war movie I've seen, the only thing I could comment on, other than not getting the medals and decorations correct in the correct order, is that when they're in operations, they have to bunch up. And in reality, you try not to bunch up. And but it's just for the get them all in a camera at the same time.
Sure.
Here, everybody get in here, and we'll take a picture of that. So, but that's other than that, my wife and I didn't miss a bit of Ken Burns's Vietnam War series that aired recently, and of course that included a lot of actual footage that took place over there, and a narration in the background. Mm-hmm. And I thought the music for that was selected was just absolutely great.
Wow.
Yeah.
Do you think perhaps that the vitriol we seem to have as a nation against Vietnam during those years it was going on was fed by the news footage coming back every night? Because we didn't have the Ernie Pyle heroic tales we saw on newsreels, at the movie theaters. We saw the raw footage. We saw the ugliness of what the hell that is war every night on our TV screens. Did that turn viewers against the war, do you think?
I'm sure it did. We didn't lose a battle in Vietnam, and yet we lost the whole war. And that was probably one of the best campaigns that was conducted by a third world country ever. As a soldier, we didn't, we did the best we could. I was really surprised. I was proud of my guys.
Sure.
And I was a lieutenant over there. Mm-hmm. 45 years later, my medic found me. And he said he'd been looking for me off and on for about 20 years. And then he found another guy in our platoon who turned out to be FBI agent against organized crime on the East Coast. And he said that was pretty easy to find.
you know what that sounds like? Now, you grew up in St. Louis. You know, of course, about Cardinals baseball and Jack Buck, people like that.
I love Cardinals baseball.
When they were doing a Memorial Day game at Busch Stadium, and Jack was in the dugout waiting to go out and interview some players for his pregame show. And there was another man in the dugout. He didn't know he had ever met him before. And he struck up a conversation because it was Memorial Day. And Jack happened to say that, he was in World War II. And the other guy says, yeah, so was I. It turned out that the other guy was Frank Borgi, who not only was the goalkeeper for the U.S. World Cup Soccer Championship team of 1950, he was also the head of the crematory in St. Louis. And they started trading war tales back and forth. And Jack said, well, I was shot at the bridge at Remagen. And Borgi says, I know. Jack says, how do you know that? He says, I was the medic who treated you. Wow. Does that make the skin crawl?
It was a small world.
It's amazing, isn't it? It is just astounding. So I have to ask you one St. Louis question. And no, it's not what high school did you go to. You went to Washington University, right?
Yes.
How many years?
I went to Merrimack Community College for two years. This is after my Vietnam experience. I went to Merrimack Community College, 2 years, studied art. Mm-hmm. Had enough credits to transfer to Washington University, and I finished my 2 years in Washington University.
How many Tolinas pizzas did you eat? In the dark, of course.
I was walking distance
right across the street.
Yeah, yep. I was trying to think of the name of that place, and I couldn't do it. I was going to put it in my book. So
I used to see the owner, Mike. I think it's pronounced Faila or something like that. I used to see him on the handball courts all the time in Forest Park.
Let me tell you about my time at Washington University.
Yeah, please.
And it's in the second volume. Mm-hmm. Ended up with a 1977 27-foot Dodge Travco Elite motorhome that the director of the art department, Professor Jim Sterrett, let me park right next to the art building. Mm-hmm. And I put a World War, a Korean War camouflage net over the motorhome, and I lived there for the better part of a year and a half.
Oh, my. Wow. So what kind of things do you have planned for the future, creative things?
I got asked this question recently, and I've discussed this with my lovely wife, Allie, and I said, you know what I want to do the rest of my life? I want to make just as much art as I possibly can, whether it's painting or sculpture or you know, writing another book maybe.
You know, I was in Los Angeles for 3 years, and I found out that one of my heroes of my youth, who was in Los Angeles, very, very successful recording artist, became an artist and sculptor, has his own showings at exhibits, things like this, and he donated $30 million to the UCLA School of Music.
I'm not quite at that level yet.
No, neither am I, but you may have heard of him. His name is Herb Alpert. And at the age of 80, he is still sculpting and still doing art. And that, he says, is his true passion. After all those years of leading the Tijuana Brass all over the world, selling millions of albums, running A&M Records. Remember
that? I can
see
the image, the album cover, whipped cream, and other delights.
Can't we all see that? Did you know that cover girl, by the way, was 4 months pregnant when they took that picture? Yeah, her name was Dolores Eckstein. Oh, my goodness. Dolores Eckstein, I think, was her last name. Anyway, what a strange segue that was. Anyway, so how can people contact you or learn about your artwork and your writing?
My books are on Amazon. Just go to Gary Cassidy on Amazon and they'll come up. Mm-hmm. They're also here in town at the Old Sage Bookstore and at Peregrine Bookstore. Mm-hmm. And if I have a speaking engagement, I try to hawk those books, well.
Next time you have a speaking engagement, let me know. We'll talk about it on the air.
Oh, great. Yeah, I just had one last Friday. Mm-hmm.
That is Gary Cassidy, U.S. Army veteran. Thank you for your service and for what you're doing for the community, too. Say hello to Kelly for me.
I will.
You have a great day, and thanks for joining us. Stay tuned. Got some final thoughts and tomorrow's Q&A guests coming up next on the Talk of the Quad Cities. 11:30 a.m., 99.9 FM, 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, streaming live around the world at kqna.com.
Membership in the Prescott Chamber of Commerce is good for your business. As a member, your business will be listed on the Prescott Chamber website and in the Chamber's annual directory. You're also eligible to place brochures in the Chamber's lobby and opportunities galore to network with other business people at monthly mixers and other events. Join the Prescott Chamber today at 445-2000. Prescott's business advocate, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce.
Napa Know-How.
Right now, Mobil 1 Full Synthetic Motor Oil is just $5.99 a quart. Its advanced formula provides maximum sludge protection, defending your engine like a catcher defends home plate. So tell sludge to go kick rocks and get top-notch engine protection with Mobil 1 Full Synthetic, just $5.99. Quality parts, helpful people, that's Napa Know-How.
Napa Know-How!
General States pricing. Sales prices do not include applicable state, local taxes, or recycling fees. Offer expires 3/31/18.
Load up the RV and hit the open road. To the repair shop? Now that's not my idea of a fun trip, and it sure isn't convenient. So let High Country Rec V Center come to you. Mobile service is just one of their specialties. They'll even troubleshoot for you over the phone, so you're not paying for unnecessary parts and repairs. And they're an authorized warranty and service center for all the major RV appliance manufacturers and extended warranty work. So to schedule service or just ask them a question, call them at 772-8231 or online at hicountryrvcenter.com.
Hi folks, it's Reagan with Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling. Have you had a bad experience with a local heating and cooling contractor? Insane prices for repairs, or they tried to strong arm you into buying a new system? Don't get pushed around by those guys. They are not the only game in town. Give us a call at 458-8177. We are local, veteran owned and operated. You'll be treated with respect and given the proper customer service you deserve. Look for us on Facebook, visit us at pvhac.com, where you can now book appointments online. Prescott Valley Heating and Cooling.
Yavapai College presents the Rough Rider Radio Show on KQNA. Join host Kim Capen each Saturday at 12:30 for in-depth interviews with administrators, faculty members, and students for a behind-the-scenes look at events and happenings at your community college. The Rough Rider Radio Show from Yavapai College, Saturdays at 12:30 on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQNA.
Lots of sun, absolutely no fun.
Yeah, we towed it all the way up there for nothing.
Our weekend was dead in the water.
Sure, we could still sit on it, but what fun is that?
Dead boat battery sinking your spirits? Right now, you can save $10 on Duracell Ultramarine batteries and Batteries Plus bulbs.
We should have named it the SS Going Nowhere.
For store locations, offer details, and limitations, visit batteriesplus.com.
You're listening to Q&A on the Talk of the Quad Cities, KQ&A. Once again, here's your host, DJ Phone.
And the Arizona Coyotes, who have been one of the better teams in the NHL for the past about a month and a half. They've been playing pretty well. They're in Tampa to play the Tampa Bay Lightning. That is a game we will join in progress today at 5 o'clock on KQ&A. Keep in mind, Thursday, the Arizona Diamondbacks open their 20th season in Major League Baseball, and we'll broadcast live with the pregame show Thursday at 6, the first pitch at 6:40. The Harkins 14 Theater in Prescott Valley continues Tuesday Night Classics with tomorrow night's screening of Almost Famous, the movie that did make famous Kate Hudson, yes, Goldie Hawn's daughter, as the adorable groupie Penny Lane. It's based on the true story of how Cameron Crowe, at age 15, became a nationally noted rock music journalist as the rocker who becomes his confidant is played by Billy Crudup, who you will probably recognize more by voice than by face because he was the voice of those MasterCard Priceless commercials. Also look for Frances McDormand as the worrywart mother of the young teen journalist. And that young man is portrayed, by the way, by Patrick Fugit. That is tomorrow, Tuesday, 7 p.m., only $5. Almost Famous at the Harkins 14. Stay tuned now for Talk of the Town, Chino Valley. Join me back here Tuesday with my guest, Yavapai College student Alex Daniels for Yavapalooza, and Sue Rutherford, the executive director of ACT, the Arizona Crisis Team, called in by first responders to assist victims and survivors of crimes, accidents, and trauma. That is Tuesday at 3 for Q&A, when I will see you on the radio.
You've been listening to Q&A on KQ&A. Today's show was sponsored by High Country Rec V-Center, David Snyder, CPA, the Prescott Chamber of Commerce, Yavapai Regional Medical Center, and Prescott College. The views expressed on today's show do not necessarily reflect the views of KQ&A, Prescott Valley Broadcasting, our employees, or our advertisers. Join us next time for Q&A with DJ Phone on the Talk of the Quad Cities, 1130 AM, 99.9 FM in Prescott, and at 95.5 FM in Prescott Valley and Cottonwood, KQ&A.